It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Long before HGTV, there was This Old House. The long-running PBS show has branched out to include a magazine and the companion series Ask This Old House, which is in Pittsburgh this week. And joining us in studio is the program's plumbing and heating expert, a voice that you'll certainly recognize, along with the face, Richard Trethewey. Richard Trethewey, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Great to be back in Pittsburgh.
Yes, what brings you to Pittsburgh? Is it our abundance of old houses?
You got plenty of them in great neighborhoods. We're doing a little Rust Belt run. We're doing Cleveland, Wheeling, West Virginia, Cleveland twice, actually, and then we're going to be in Pittsburgh tomorrow. So going to help a guy. He's got an old thermostat. Add one of these cool thermostats that can talk to your smartphone and you can be anywhere and just see just how much energy you're wasting.
We love hearing ourselves mentioned as part of the Rust Belt.
Well, you're the Rust Belt that has been come back beautifully, and it's a fabulous story, Pittsburgh. We love Pittsburgh. We'd love to come here and actually do more stuff here. It's a good town.
Well, what took you so long?
Well, we were here in the very first year of Ask. I did a project in
about 14 years ago?
12 years ago. 2002.
Okay.
And it was Allegheny West, I remember, and we helped a guy with a problem on his heating system. It was in the – I remember it was in the shadows of the stadium, Allegheny West, this little neighborhood. Are you familiar with it?
That would have been Heinz Field, I guess,
yeah,
right?
Heinz Field, right. Yeah. So,
what kind of questions do you get from this part of the country and Pittsburgh in particular? Are they different from what you would get in New England?
Well, we still have plenty of steam, and in both New England, in Boston and in Pittsburgh, we got plenty of steam and hot water heating, where the rest of the country has mostly hot air systems. So some of that stuff I'm very familiar with because we have older housing stock, older building stock. But it's there's no limit to the questions, boy. I had one in the airport today. They stop. They say, let me draw this out for you. What are you going to do? So,
well, you're like a rock star.
I don't know about that.
You're the rock star of plumbing and
I do feel like we're in a rock band. We've been together 35 years on This Old House. Norm and I and Tommy's been there most of it. And it's just we still get along great and we still love each other. It's all good.
So, yeah, and I want to get into some of the history of that. I also want to allow people to throw some questions at you. I'm guessing there are a few out there. If you have you don't mind taking questions,
please,
right?
Bring it on.
If you've got the doctor in the house, plumbing and heating expert Richard Trethewey, if you have a question for him, 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Email ESSPGH at WESA.FM and on Twitter at ESSPGH. Maybe you're just a fan of the show and you can act like the guy in the airport apparently did. Does that happen to you a lot that where you go from place to place, you get people running up to you and saying, oh, I know what I can do.
I think we have the perfect level of celebrity. People sort of know who we are, but they're respectful. They say thank you for the show, and then they usually ask a simple question. But they're great. We love helping people. And what we are is really teachers. We've got a perfect classroom. This Ask show has been great for us because we can go out to someone's house and do a project from beginning to end. They got a problem with a sticky window. Okay, we'll go and do that and show it in a way that it comes off as a 6, 7, 8, 9 minute piece that is really the definitive way to fix that window, or in my case, to do something in the HVAC world. So they become very usable and tactile segments for people.
Right. And obviously this harkens back to the tradition of what used to be called educational television.
That's right.
Is that you're providing segments and you're providing information that is useful to people, that is helpful to them and practical.
Yeah.
And yet this wouldn't necessarily seem, at least on paper, to have all the makings of a compelling television show. because it is popular. It is something that transcends what we would think of as instructional television.
Yeah.
How do you account for that? Because I got to tell you, the idea of tuning in to find out how to fix that sticky window would not necessarily be the thing that a lot of people would want to do.
Well, everybody lives somewhere.
Right.
And it means that they have issues with something. And I think what's come through right from the beginning with This Old House and Ask This Old House is that we are really contractors. We're not actors. We're not people. We don't cry like a lot of these reality television. we sort of – this is what we do. And so we've been given this opportunity to sort of provide a classroom to people. And I don't know. I find it compelling. I tune in every time I see the show on.
How did you? You are, as we pointed out, a legitimate plumbing and heating expert. Yeah. So you're not someone that went to broadcasting school and said, "I want to be on TV."
No.
How did you end up on TV?
My story was pretty interesting. Our family business was started in 1902. Trithewey Brothers. It was two brothers from Nova Scotia came down to Boston, got into this new thing called plumbing. It didn't exist before then. So then in 78, 79, when the show was coming, the idea for the show came, we got a phone call. And I took the call. I was 22 years old, I remember. And the woman says, "We got an idea for a TV show about fixing up houses. And we heard you guys are really good, but I got to tell you, with public television, she'd have to work for nothing." So I said, "Hold on, please." And I said, "Dad, there's some woman on the phone that wants us to do a TV show." And he says, "Let me talk to her." He gets on and he goes, "Yeah. Oh, yes. Oh, we love Sesame Street. Oh, I love – and he loves public – oh, let's do it." So he hangs up and I said, "Really?" He said, "We're having a good year. Maybe we can help the plumber's image. Let's do it." And so the first year he goes on camera and literally you could just see the suds come in his mouth, the blood drain out of his head. He was so nervous to do it that he looks at me and he says, "I can't do it, Richard. You do it." And the famous line around our company was, "Richard was too dumb to be nervous."
But that says something about that. There had to be, you know, you can have all the knowledge in the world, but you have to be able to get in front of the camera and share that and do it in a way that has some level of appeal to it. How would you, aside from your self-deprecating remark, how would you account for your ability to
In
do
the
it?
First years, I used to worry about what every other plumber thought, and I just had to clear the decks and clear my head and say, "Look, I just have to worry, am I being truthful to me? Am I getting the point out?" And then for me, it was to say, how do we tell the story? People are scared to death of mechanical systems. They seem too complex. How do we make them simpler? Look, it is pretty basic when it comes down to it. You're gonna heat some air or liquid. You're going to move it around. And so, you know, there's some basic lessons we can teach people, and we've been doing that for a long time.
It's kind of like car talk, except you're doing it.
Talk was the model, boy. They were the model that they not only had information, but they made it entertaining. I think what we've been able to do with Ask is to make the information compelling, but also add a little fun. We do this "what is it" thing here, where we joke around, and that becomes a great release for people.
Let's go to the phones. If you have a comment or a question for our guest, Richard Trithewey of This Old House, Ask This Old House, 412-246-2002, the number to call. We'll start with Keith in East Liberty. Keith, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh. You're on with Richard Trithewey.
Hi, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call. I love both your shows.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I was calling because, Richard, I'm sure you deal with this a lot. And here in Pittsburgh, we have lots of older homes with difficult infrastructures, difficult HVAC issues. We recently purchased a home here in the city from 1907. We've been planning towards improvements, particularly with regards to sustainable practices, more energy efficient, across the board, better management of resources. And I know there's a lot of products out there that can aid in this, but I also wonder, you know, where do we reach the tipping point in terms of returns on investment, and then how feasible are products that increase energy efficiency in regards to heating and cooling, plumbing, et cetera, in an area like Western Pennsylvania?
Well, I'll start with my answer to say it doesn't have anything to do with plumbing and heating, and that is think about how to make our buildings tighter and more energy efficient, the shell, the entire shell, because it pays for itself over and over and over again, both in heating and cooling mode. You know, we showed this product, Isonine, this expanding foam, polyurethane foam, 15 years ago, and it was an amazing product that can go into any wall and expand, but not expand so much that it makes the windows not work. And it could, if you ever saw a thermographic picture of a house that's been insulated with fiberglass, every time you see an electrical outlet, you'd be able to see where there was incredible heat loss, everywhere there was studs. So first and foremost, I would say, no matter what you're thinking about, if you're staying in the building, it's to say, how do we make this building tight? Now, once you do that, you also have to make it breathe. You got to get some fresh air in once, because you don't want it to be like a hamper. Now, if you've now changed the heat loss characteristic or the heat gain characteristic in the cooling mode by half, you've got money in the pocket. Even the efficiency of the equipment is less important, because you've got less energy you got to put into the building to stay ahead of this challenge of, you know, trying to heat a building in a freezing cold climate like we all enjoy here in Western PA and certainly in New England. it's not easy. And so start with the envelope first, believe it or not. And then, you know, if you interview Tommy, he would say start with the mechanical system.
Hopefully that answers your question, Keith.
Well, I hope the alternative thing, I just want to – everybody wants some magic solution. You know, I want to get off of oil. I want to get off of gas and stuff like that. There's no perfect solution. There's some technologies that are out there now. Geothermal, we can get some heat out of the ground. You get your cooling out of the ground. That's been there. There's been some interesting stuff coming from Asia, which is called an inverter-style heat pumps. You know, heat pumps have a terrible name in cold climates. But these are actually devices that can find heat even when it's down to 5 and 10 degrees and heat your building, assuming that the building is tight enough.
412-246-2002 to join the conversation with Richard Trethewey of This Old House. Let's go to John in Cranberry. John, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Hi, how are you, Richard?
Just great.
Great. I've enjoyed your show through the years.
Why, thank you.
I have a question. I'm in Pennsylvania for the time being, working on some projects, but we'll be moving back to my home in California that's in the Sierra Nevadas in the Tahoe region, so it's in a cold climate with a lot of snow.
Yep.
We remodeled an old mill house and upgraded insulation and everything, and at the time put in a freestanding oil heat, the Toyo stove.
Yeah.
And when we get back, we want to upgrade from that, and we're looking at electrical systems, gas systems, running ductwork would be difficult, and if there's anything you could kind of steer us towards, is to focus as far as our research into what we could be looking at.
The Toyo stove was just a regional a space heater, right, that burned kerosene?
Correct.
Yeah.
It was efficient at the time,
right.
We have a two-story house, and it just doesn't get the circulation out.
Right. Sometimes it feels like you're traveling.
Tired of dealing with the oil.
Sometimes it feels like you're traveling behind a diesel Peugeot, too. You know,
right.
That smell. So does it need air conditioning, this building?
Not really. It could use it about 7 days out of the year, but it's not a real high priority. Yeah. Primarily, it's the heating.
Let me introduce one kind. We've shown on the show many years using radiant heating, and there's a bunch of ways to do radiant. But if I can put radiant under your feet and put warm water, not hot water, I could put a 90 or 100-degree water under your feet, and I could heat your feet and you for 6 or 8 feet, and then the rest of the top of that room doesn't need any heat because it gets cooler as you go up. I would impact your comfort. I would impact your cost of operation. And it'd actually make the house you'd need half the size of the heating supply. So radiant has got so many stories to it. As long as you don't need air conditioning, you know, air conditioning becomes a new thing. If you now add air conditioning and air movement into a radiant system, it wouldn't work as well. But I'm a big believer, particularly in your kitchen, family room, or what I call the cocoon, the place where you'll be on those cold winter nights where you can just hang. You don't really need it in the bedrooms as much. And then once you do that, only needing some warm water under your feet. Well, look, then you could use electricity. You could use some solar. You could use some geothermal. You could use oil or gas. Now it becomes almost fuel indifferent.
Thank you very much, John, for the question. And we'll go now to Maureen in Mount Lebanon, who also has an interesting question. Maureen, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh. You're on with Richard Trethewey.
Thank you very much for taking my call. I'm a big fan of the show. I live in a house that was built in 1936. And I noticed that in the winter, I develop allergies when the heating system is on.
Yeah.
And also, I've been noticing this fall kind of a musty smell when the air conditioning's on. And I'm wondering if there's any benefit to having the air ducts cleaned.
You have to have a ducted system. So let's talk about that.
Right. I have forced air.
There has never been a device better designed to capture dirt, dust, dander than a ducted HVAC system, because as it moves slowly through the ducts, any dust that's in it or anything falls out to the bottom of the duct. And so over time it might get caked on and stuff like that, but it becomes this place that has got perfect breeding ground for all kinds of stuff. I don't want to scare you that it's always terrible, because they're not always that way, but particularly if anybody has ever had animals or cats or dogs, that becomes an interesting place. So cleaning the ducts is always a great idea, particularly if you first move into a house that you don't know what's been there before. So at least you start with some level of comfort. But just by the nature of the system, you know, hot air systems, you know, that was probably a coal-fired system originally, gentle, calm, and everything else. And then now you've got a modern furnace probably that has a high-speed fan that now moves that dust and dirt and smokes it all around the building and stuff like that. So think about cleaning the ducts inside, getting a duct company, and then also think of the highest level of filtration you can afford on the return side of that furnace to make sure you protect your lungs from that kind of stuff coming back through the ducts.
Maureen, thank you for the call. Let's go to Chris in White Oak. Chris, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you. Good afternoon, gentlemen. Quick question. I'm renovating an old farmhouse out in White Oak, Pennsylvania, and the previous owner had some dogs in the basement, and it's a porous concrete basement, you know. So these dogs did a lot of peeing down there, yeah. And it's very hard to get rid of this smell. I don't know if you can suggest a product or a technique for removing that smell, because every time I kick on the HVA system, the whole house smells like it. I'm not sure what to do.
I don't have a magic solution. I mean, the obvious ones are bleach and ammonia and all the other stuff, but all those things tend to mask. You know, concrete is an opened material, so to speak. It's not watertight, so that urine would have gotten embedded in there. It's going to be tough. The bigger question I have is that by code, at least in my world, no air from the basement should ever be able to be distributed up through the ductwork. So the ducts should, you know, if you've got a wild return or something where you don't, where you're just taking air from the basement, you're going to be pulling that smell in forever. So have somebody in the HVAC world looked at the duct system and be sure that the air that comes back to be reconditioned by either heated or cooled is only coming from the living space and not from the basement. It doesn't mean you shouldn't clean up that terrible smell, but it's unsafe and unsanitary to have that air moving up. And by code, it shouldn't be that way. Thanks.
Thank you, Chris. Appreciate the call. Well, that is an example of the popularity right there.
Yeah.
You know, people jumping in.
That's crazy.
To ask their questions.
We always do radio and we wonder, will anybody call? And everybody calls. It's really great. Everybody's got a question.
And I'm guessing you're not doing this show. It's not on a volunteer basis anymore.
No, it became full time. I mean, we have Thistle House, Ask Thistle House. There's a website. Now we have Twitter and all this other stuff that I don't even know. But we're just learning about Twitter and all the social media stuff. And we have the magazine. It's a full-time job.
Speaking of Twitter, David on Twitter asks, what old plumbing technology could we learn from for rehab jobs and new construction? So it sounds like he's referring to a technique that might have started back in the 19-aughts that is still applicable today.
Well, all around Pittsburgh, there are tons of systems, both steam, but mostly in gravity hot water. There were systems that had radiators that had no circulator pump. So that meant that the first installer had to figure out exactly how to do this piping in that system so that every single run in that building was of equal length, so that when you turned on the heat by this natural process of the hot water getting warmer, it would make every radiator be the right temperature, the same temperature. Well, as soon as electricity came along and you could put a pump in, people would just start moving the stuff ever and make so there'd be really a short run to one room and a long run to another, and it would always get out of balance. So that if we went back to what the old timers did, which was to say, just physics is simple. If I give water the path of least resistance, if I have a little short run right here with a really strong pump, it'll go right to that short one, and so you'll have to. So if we just learned a little bit more those dead guys knew, that would be one way to do it.
Well, you were talking earlier about the image of the plumber, that your dad felt that it would be important to do this public television show back in its embryonic stages because this would improve or enhance the image of,
sure,
of a plumber. Yeah. So do you feel that that has been accomplished in the last 35 years or so?
Paul, I certainly hope so. I think so. I mean, I feel blessed that I was given this opportunity. I'm a fourth-generation plumber. Been given a sort of a platform to actually teach. So I hope it helped the plumber's image, you know. All the contractor's image. I mean, contractors in any part of this world get a bad name because you always hear about the bad ones. But for every bad one, there are 99 great ones that are just working hard, trying to do beautiful work. It's their art, and they're just trying to do – and so when we often hear situations where there's a bad contractor, usually at the heart of it was that a homeowner took the lowest price and something disconnected because you can't get a lot for a little. And then all of a sudden, all contractors get blamed. I think this whole house is we've shown to not only to the homeowners how to do it right. I think we've shown many contractors how we feel it should be done right, and it helps to elevate the bar. Because if we show the right technique, guess what? That contractor can now say, look that homeowner right in the eye and say, "This is what it's going to take to do it right," and that means it's a little more money.
Richard Trethewey is the plumbing and heating expert from This Old House and the companion series Ask This Old House on PBS. And he's in Pittsburgh this week doing some things related to the show. And they found time to stop by our studios. Richard, we appreciate it. Thank you so much for joining us on Essential
Pittsburgh. Great to be back, Paul, and good to see you.
Likewise. And coming up, we'll mark the 240th anniversary of Johnny Appleseed's birth and his connection to Pittsburgh. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.